With AI, if you can think it, you can make it. But so can cybercriminals. Norton VPN Ultimate helps protect you and your family. Combining advanced online privacy protection with AI-powered scam detection so you can live your best digital life. Today's online privacy threats have met their match. Search Norton VPN Ultimate for a fast and reliable VPN that keeps you safer online.
Another episode of Dropping the Gloves. I'm a little glum to start the show because Tim's being a jerk, yelling at me, being aggressive, and I'm having a hard time with it. You know when you have, you set a date and a time. You say, let's meet here at this time. Okay, sounds good. And then all of a sudden, one person says, let's go early. And the other person isn't around because he's expected to be there at a certain time. And then the other person, we'll call him Tim in this instance, starts getting aggressive and starts yelling and getting impatient. Well, that's just what happened to me, everybody. We decided we were going to record at a certain time. And because Tim's got a life now. He's got a lot of things going on. He's got a wife. His cousin's in town. He's got a dog. He's got 15 jobs. He's so popular. He's got a stupid beanie. He's got all these things that he has to do. He starts yelling at me. Let's go. Hurry up. Where are you? Let's go. Let's go. Are we going in 10 minutes? I got to go. And I'm a little frazzled. I feel like a millennial. I feel like Tim right now. Just a sensitive. I feel like a beaten housewife. And you put me in this spot, Tim.
Do you ever think to yourself in your relationship with your
all
wife
the time,
how there are certain things that she's allowed to say and do to you, but if you did it back to her, you'd be in trouble? Just like things of like, honey, if I said that to you, you would be mad at me for a week, but she's allowed to say it to you, right? I'm sure there's little things like that. That's our relationship. Is that the things you're talking about, you wear beanies and toques all the time. You yell at me in all caps all the time if I don't respond right away. You change the recording time last minute all the time, and I'm always waiting on you. But as soon as the thing flips one time, you have a meltdown. You don't know what to do with yourself. So it's just funny. It's funny how that stuff works out.
This will all be edited out. I don't appreciate all of those lies to our listeners. But so that's why I'm a little down to start the show, because I feel a little down, which is strange because I should be on a high because I just wrapped up Darren McCarty yesterday and it was a great interview. It was so refreshing to talk to somebody on this podcast who listens to me, who cares about me and responds in a thoughtful way and not just ignores me and then just talks about something totally different. It was really nice talking to Darren. It was a great conversation. Tim, did you listen to any of it? Probably not.
No, I did. I edited it. So I listened to a bunch of it. I haven't done start to finish yet. But he sounds like a great guy. And you'd mentioned in a couple of times, like the 5 or 10 minutes you chatted before the recording was some of your favorites. So like, what are some of the takeaways you have from him in general in terms of his time in the NHL and then what he has to say about the Red Wings' future?
Well, if you look at his career, on ice accomplishments, arguably one of the greatest tough guys ever. If you want to put him in that category of a tough guy, because he, like we talked about, he put up crazy numbers in juniors, but a lot of tough guys did. 4 cups. And then the amount of big goals that he scored, it's pretty incredible when you look at his resume and you go back and you realize, holy cow, he was a huge part of those Red Wings teams. Because you think of the Russian Five, you think of Yzerman, Osgood, Draper, Shanahan, Lidstrom. But the majority of big plays, Tim, were McCarty. like, either being a fight or a goal or whatever they needed. It was him. So it was neat kind of doing a research for that interview and realizing, holy crap, this guy's like, he's done a lot and he's done a lot. But then the drastic downfall, and it's a weird thing because you see him now and you just a straight, you know, litmus test of looking at him, his face, it's like, you've lived a hard life. You've been through some things. And then you see Stevie Y, who's polished and perfect and coiffed and like does probably yoga in the morning, and he runs 10 miles and he just has probably does a facial at night and a steam bath and these sorts of things. And Darren McCarty is like, he's just lived a hard life. So it was a weird dynamic to talk to someone like that who has all these addictions and gone through it and hopefully never going back there. But it's like, man, you've lived a life, man. And you can tell he's totally humble and open to talk about it. But at the same time, I'm trying to talk about hockey. I'm trying to get these stories out of him and say, hey, like, talk about this and that and the other thing to make it interesting to listen to. And I don't want to push him because I enjoy talking to the guy just about whatever. So it was an interesting interview. I think it was great, but it was an interesting kind of hour to talk to him.
You got a lot of good feedback from our listeners on social media and in the Patreon. But my last question is, like, what did he have to say about the Wings? And did he have a more positive outlook than you've had about the Iser plan and all that?
Well, no, you could tell he's giving him a lot of room, right? He's giving him some benefit of the doubt because he's got some good young kids in the system. You know, he just give him some time. And I didn't want to nail him down because you know, who am I to press Darren McCarty? He has nothing to do with the Red Wings. And we talked beforehand about like being involved with the Wings. He's like, I have no care to do that. He's like, I spent enough time focusing on hockey when I played. I'm not a hockey nerd. I want to go out and enjoy my life. Leave that to the other guys who like live, breathe, and die hockey. He's like, that wasn't me. I don't want to coach. I don't want to be around the rink. I want to go and just relax and enjoy my life and go to a hockey game every once in a while. So he doesn't have that big of a connection to the Wings, but he still is protective of Stevie Y. And he's like, oh yeah, no, they'll turn it around. They know why go for it now. And he thinks much like everybody has thought for the last couple of years. And this is an ongoing problem with a lot of these teams who haven't taken that step. We're a couple of years away, you know. 2 or 3 years, we'll be competitive, and that's when we'll go. Once these young kids in the minor leagues, they show up and they make their, you know, presence felt, that's when we're going to be competitive and going for that Stanley Cup. And it just never happens. You know, we've heard it from Ottawa, Buffalo, Detroit, all these other teams that are contending. So I'm not going to argue with him. Guy's been through enough. Who am I to argue with Darren McCarty? But he's forever and always will be Stevie Y's bodyguard. So he's not going to sit there and throw him under the bus at this point. But I did think it was funny when he said, if they're going for the bubble, talk to me when they're going to win a Stanley Cup. Then I'll give you an answer and I'll let you know. He's like, John, I've never missed a playoffs in my career. I've won 4 cups. Like, I'm not here to talk about a bubble team. That's not in my vocabulary. I'm a champion, a Stanley Cup champion. So imagine saying that. Having the ability to say, nah, I just don't want to make the playoffs. Who cares? Talk to me when we're winning cups, baby. But and he never answered my question about what was it like walking into that room. Like, he walked into a Stanley Cup situation, right? Like, he was a rookie walking into a room with all these dudes who were primed in their prime, like a 23-year-old Fedorov, a 24-year-old Yzerman. They've been in the league already for 5 years, and he walks into that situation where it's like, all right, jackpot, absolute jackpot. And I'm going to start winning cups. Like, it's just, gosh, I almost had that in Chicago. Stupid Brandon. Like, hate that guy. It's the worst. All right. Anything else about that interview, Tim, you want to touch on before we move on to some hockey talk?
Well, just no, I'm glad you did it. I'm looking forward to listening to it. Like I said, people have liked it, which is great. And kind of thinking about the bubble teams has got me thinking about what we'll talk about for today's show, because the Red Wings are certainly in that place. And it's been a little while since we looked at, because I feel like the last, I don't know, 6 episodes or so have been focused on the trade deadline, the Mikko Rantanen stuff. We talked a little bit about some playoff implications of a trade deadline, but I'd like to talk about, like, you know, we're getting to the point where we're starting to think about playoff matchups, and there's a lot of matchups that are basically in stone already. And there's always, you know, subject to change, but there's a couple in particular that I think are pretty interesting. So we'll start in the East. And I think the top three in the Atlantic and the Metro are basically haven't changed and won't change. There's a couple of little ones that could get interesting, but we're going to see basically Florida, Tampa, Toronto, and then Washington, Carolina, and New Jersey. In whatever order they end up finishing in, I think you can pretty much lock those six teams in. But it's the wild card in the East that continues to be exciting. So I think Carolina and New Jersey will probably be the first round matchup, and that was one that a couple of years ago would have been like, okay, this is the future of the East right here. And now it's kind of teetered off. On the flip side, I think Tampa, Toronto, if that continues to hold, which I think it will, that could be a bloodbath. That's one of those.
Let me just jump in right now. That game last night, Florida, Toronto.
Yeah.
Toronto needs to win that game. And I'm not saying this lightly. If you're the Toronto Maple Leafs and you want to win the Stanley Cup, you have to win your division. You have to avoid playing Florida or Tampa Bay in the first round. That's an imperative. I just don't see any other way. Well, obviously there's a way, but boy, it's a lot more difficult if you don't win your division. And then you have to play Tampa first round, Florida second round, and then Washington third round. That's murderer's row. And I just, man, they just can't seem to win that big game. Whereas Florida comes in, they play steady Eddie as she goes, play along the perimeter, don't let them get going with their speed, and just grinds out a 3-2 win. It was, it was so frustrating to watch. But it was a great game by Florida. Actually, well executed. But anyways, go ahead. Sorry, Tim. I jumped in there.
Well, that's okay. And I think, you know, we're going to talk about Toronto. But, I mean, basically, it feels like for at least a decade now, they're just having, yes, a lot of it's self-inflicted, but you're just running into either Tampa, Florida, or Boston every year. And it's a team that it's almost always in the first round. In fact, it's always in the first round.
Because they don't win the division. Really, that's why.
Right, right. So this is probably an important year to do that. Although I feel like they're a stronger team, but Tampa and Florida are still as good as they've ever been. So that would be a bloodbath. I think the Senators now are the kind of the team that I want to spend a few minutes focusing on because they're making things really interesting. And so they've won five in a row. We talked about them about 2 weeks ago where they had just lost five in a row after winning the five previous. So this is the team that can win or lose 5 or 10 games. Like, they're just very streaky.
Yeah.
They beat the Bruins 6-3 last night. They chased Swayman out of the net. Meanwhile, Ullmark made this incredible diving save on Mason Lowry. Did you see this?
Yeah. Oh, awesome.
It was number 3 on SportsCenter's top 10 this morning. So they now have the Senators, as of this morning, a 5-point gap between them and the second wildcard team. So they're in the first wildcard spot, which means it's looking really good for them to make the playoffs. Again, there's a streaky team. They could lose five in a row at any point, but there's a nice gap there. They have a little bit of wiggle room. And one of the main reasons for that is Dylan Cousins is their big pickup at the trade deadline. And they gave up a lot to get him. In the 4 games since he's been on their roster, he has 4 points, 2 goals, 2 assists. He's a +5, and he's right now centering the second line between Batherson and Perron, which is just, you know, he's doing everything. And this is another guy like Brady Tkachuk that we've just been waiting to see in the playoffs. And it feels like already he's becoming another one of those Buffalo Sabres that goes into a new city, new franchise, and all of a sudden turns into a winner. In some cases, turns into a superstar. Jack Eichel, Sam Reinhart, Sam Bennett, Ryan O'Reilly, there's more to that list. So I think the Ottawa Senators are suddenly a team that I think has finally taken that step. We've been waiting for the Red Wings to do it. We've been waiting for the Sabres to do it. It feels like the Senators have finally done it this year. And right now they have a 25th out of 32 easiest schedule the rest of the way. So they have a really good chance of continuing this and being a playoff team.
Yeah, let's touch on Dylan Cousins for a while, because this trade, when it first went through, I was, you know, a little surprised, perplexed. Like, why are we pulling the trigger here? Josh Norris is a great player. He's obviously had his issues with Ottawa injury-wise, but he loved in locker room. Like, he made a house there, made a family, built a house. Like, he's wanted to stay in Ottawa long-term, and he was just jettisoned. Dylan Cousins, we had him on the show. Great guy. Awesome guy. And I thought he was in the long-term plans for the Buffalo Sabres. But I thought Josh Norris, at the end of the day, maybe had a little more offensive upside. But boy, oh boy, nothing but positive results coming out of him in Ottawa for the first couple of weeks. He's playing like a man possessed. So incredibly good. And if you're the Ottawa Senators, which you are, and you could roll out a line, your first line's got Brady Tkachuk, who's just a pill to play against, and your second line has Dylan Cousins, who is just Mr. Energy. He fights, he scores, he's in on the forecheck, he goes in the places you don't want to go to. That's a pretty solid 1-2, Tim. And we know what Tkachuk can do when the games mean the most. In the World Cup, the Four Nations Cup, the guy was arguably the best player on the ice. So to get these guys into the playoffs, if I'm Florida Panthers or the Washington Capitals, whoever finishes first, right now it's they're going to line up to play the Florida Panthers. That's scary to think about, because Josh Norris, for as skilled as he is, are you that nervous to play against him, Tim? You know, it's like, yeah, it's going to be a stick check battle. If I'm playing against Dylan Cousins, I'm worried about this guy blowing me up in the neutral zone, hitting me in the corner, grinding me out after the whistle, the scrums, and he's a respectful player, but he is a hard brick to play against. So he is built for the playoffs. He's built for a 7-game series, and I know that's like cliche to say, but it's absolutely true. There's reasons bigger teams and feistier teams typically win Stanley Cups, or teams that have that edge. It's because it's hard to play 7 games against the same guy, and you grow this animosity, and by the third, fourth, fifth game, you're thinking, do I really want to go in the corner with Dylan Cousins? No, I don't. Let him have the puck. Do I really want to, you know, go to battle with this guy every single night? No. But then you, on the other side, Josh Norris, would I want to play against him 5-6 games? Yeah, that'd be fine. Sure. Sign me up for that.
Yeah, and I don't want to overlook the other acquisition they picked up at the deadline, which is friend of the show, Fabian Zetterlund, who's another thick, strong guy that can generate some offense. He's got 17 goals in the year and 36 points, so he's going to get a reduced role compared to San Jose, but he'll still finish with more than 20 goals and probably 45 points. Like, he's a good player. All of a sudden, he's on the fourth line of Ottawa, and he's got a different role, and he's going to be just brutal to play against. So I really like this team. And by the way, they're only 4 points behind Tampa for third in the Atlantic. Like, that's not out of the realm of possibility that they keep winning and Tampa slides a little bit, which means they face maybe Toronto in the first round. Battle of Ontario. Can you imagine? Because I think, like, I was thinking about who they play up. Most likely they'll play Florida in the first round if everything holds. And you have to pick Florida in that series. They're better, more skilled, probably a better goaltending. And they have, like, the same wild animals that can answer for Tkachuk with the other Tkachuk and Bennett and Marchand and these other pieces. But if they face Toronto, that's like a prime upset, because you know, like, they don't have an answer for, they don't even have Reeves on the team anymore. Like, who's going to stop Tkachuk from just bullying Matthews every time he's on the ice? They don't have
Max
an answer.
Domi? I don't think so. Yeah, that's a bad matchup for Toronto. What is a good matchup for Toronto at the end of the day, because they have all these superstars, they can skate with anybody. They're just, it's so incredibly fun to watch. But when you start talking playoff hockey and you start talking 7-game series, who do you want to play? Florida's going to bully them. Tampa's got the experience, but maybe the good matchup for them is the Tampa Bay Lightning. Ottawa, I don't want to play. First round, who would you rather have, Tampa or Ottawa?
Ottawa, but I don't like either of them.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird because Tampa, I mean, Toronto has basically no chance to win the conference because Washington's 13 points ahead of them. So there's no chance to play that second wild card spot. And to answer your question, that's who they want. They want whoever's left of the Rangers or Red Wings or Montreal. Like, that's what, but they're playing Florida or Ottawa or Tampa, one of those three. And it's not going to be pretty.
I really don't think they are favored versus either of the Florida teams.
No.
The Panthers and Lightning, I feel like you go into that series and you're the odds on underdog. And then Ottawa, I don't know, Tim. Like, they're so streaky. They're just a different team. And you know how excited they would be to play Toronto in the first round? They haven't been in the playoffs in a decade, it seems like. And then they get to face the Toronto Maple Leafs, who are their arch enemy. Boy, oh boy, I might be at betting on the Sens at that point. So it's amazing to talk about this, about a team that has all these superstars, and they do have history in the playoffs, so it's not like they're fresh and green out of the box like the Ottawa Senators are. So they do have some experience, but it's not the right kind of experience. And then it just goes back to my point. I know we're going to maybe save this for the offseason. Bye-bye, Mitch Marner. I think this kid's going to want to stay again after they get bounced in the first round, because all signs point to them, as sad as it is to say, losing in the first round, as crazy as that is to say, being bounced again, potentially by the number 7 seed in the NHL, the Ottawa Senators, in the Eastern Conference. Imagine the pitchforks. And would Craig Berube be fired? Would this whole thing be blown up? Is that what it needs to take for them to kind of come to their senses and realize you can't spend all this money on these 4 guys and hope to win? That would be incredible. I'd hope this right away.
Such a juicy stake if they lost to Ottawa. So let's talk about the second wild card race there, because it's a 5-team race, and including all 5, even though I know you don't agree with all the list, but they're all within 2 points of each other. It's Columbus, New York, Montreal, Detroit, and Boston. Boston, they lost last night, but they won 2 in a row after the trade.
Yeah,
so,
they've been playing okay.
So Washington's going to win the conference automatically. It's just there's no chance anyone's going to catch them at this point. Who do you like of these 5 teams? Who has the best chance to beat Washington in a 7-game series? Who's the best chance for an upset?
Rangers. I think just being realistic, the Boston Bruins fleeced their roster. So they're just playing with youthful exuberance right now, and they will in the next 15 games start to peter out a little bit. The Detroit Red Wings didn't do anything at the deadline. They have some good pieces, but I just don't think it's there. And they will begin to peter out like they have already. The Canadians, they're the ones I'm going to look to. They're very fun. So in my eyes, it's a 3-team race for that last spot, the Jackets, the Rangers, and the Canadians. I like this Montreal Canadiens team. I think they're really good when everybody's going, when everybody's in the lineup and not hurt. Obviously, they've lost friend of the show, Kirby Dach. But even with that out, I like their goaltending. I think their forwards are incredible. I talked about this team a few years ago, how they have just a lot of high-end forwards and their back end is terrible. They got Lane Hutson this year. He has made a huge impact on that back end. Mike Matheson has been playing okay. You got Jacki and Savard anchoring. They can play against the 4th, 3rd, other teams' lines. But if you look at their top 3 lines, Tim, it ain't bad. They got some skill. The first line of Caulfield, Suzuki, and Slafkovský is incredible. Slafkovský's had a great season. Suzuki's a superstar in Caulfield. I think he's got 30-some goals. He's terrific. Second line is a little energy line with Newhook and Gallagher. Then you got Patrick Laine, Josh Anderson, some big bodies on the outside, and Dvorak in the middle. It's not terrible. So anyways, back to your question. I think the second wildcard seed goes to the Rangers, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Canadians slipped into and got into that spot. Blue Jackets are fun, but I feel like we've been saying it all season, they'll start to regress, but I just think it's the Rangers or Canadians spot to fill in that last wildcard spot. No matter, who do you think?
Yeah, it's funny. I have 2 different teams. I'm basing this more on which team I think could give the best series to the Capitals, not necessarily which one will steal that spot, but I think it's Detroit. The reason I think that is because of first of all, Patrick Kane had a 5-point night the other night. Did you see
he
that?
He did, yeah.
It's pretty cool. I just feel like they have the guns that I don't see other teams in this bunch having, except for the Rangers, but the Rangers just does not work for whatever reason. And Detroit is, we saw Dylan Larkin. We saw what these guys can do if they're given the chance. And I feel like they'd be hard to play against. So I don't like any of these teams to upset the Capitals, but Detroit would be the one. And the other one is Columbus. And the reason I say that is because they've exceeded every expectation. They're playing with house money. No one expects them to win a game, let alone a series. And I feel like they would just be a nightmare to play against and just frustrate you and surprise you and try to win games 2-1. I don't think any of these teams could upset the Capitals. I think we have to start treating you and I, the Capitals, with some more respect of like, hey, this is a legit good team. This isn't just some fluky thing that we can't ignore it anymore. But the answer to the question is I don't think any of them have a chance.
Yeah,
but
if I had to pick I legitimately think the Rangers could beat them.
They swept them last year.
In a 7-game series, as long as Adam Fox is back, I don't know the extent of his injury. If he's back, you have a decent defense. It's not great by any means, but they're okay. You bring in Carson Soucy. He's a serviceable defenseman. The thing that makes them dangerous is their first 2 lines. They're legit superstars. Zibanejad aside, Panarin, Trocheck, JT Miller, Lafreniere. It's like they're very, very, very good hockey players. You bump Kreider down to the third line, so their third line all of a sudden is pretty dangerous. And then Matt Rempe would make the difference. But I legitimately think if they get in, they could make some noise. If they get in, and that's a big question. Shesterkin, you can't bet against him, but boy, oh boy. Imagine if you're the Capitals. That's an incredible. So we played them in the playoffs when I played for the Rangers. It was electric. Absolutely electric. So it'd be fun to see those two teams go at it just from a history standpoint and just a big city standpoint. Columbus is great. Everybody loves it. It ain't the same as Madison Square Garden in the playoffs going against Ovi. It's just, it feels right when those two teams play each other in the playoffs. So that would be a dream matchup for me. Rangers, Capitals first round, Leafs, Senators first round, Tampa Bay, Florida first round, and then no one cares about Carolina and the Devils. I'm sorry. But those three first round matchups, ooh, change my sheets. It'd be so fun. So incredibly fun. So it won't happen, but it's fun to think about. That'd be absolutely incredible. All right, what are we doing next?
I saw the stat the other day, maybe this morning. I'm trying to find it, but I couldn't. But basically the gist of it is that there's only 20 guys in the league who are above 230 pounds or some number like that, 225, something like that. And of the 20, only 9 of them are like star top 6 players. I think the bar was 50 points. Of those 9, 4 of them are on the Capitals. It's Ovechkin, it's Tom Wilson, a couple others. They're all forwards. So it's just crazy, like, how heavy this team is. And for all the stuff they've done in the regular season, there's a lot of reason to think that they can continue that in the postseason. But again, I still don't, it just feels like the East is going to run through the Atlantic. It's Tampa.
I feel the same way. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid. I don't know why. It would be so crazy to go against the potential President's Trophy winner. Like this team right now, they have 94 points. You know, they're tied with Winnipeg for the top spot in the NHL. And I still, even those two teams, even the Winnipeg Jets, I would not pick them to get out of the second round.
Well,
isn't that weird?
Let's talk about that now, because in the West, I feel like the Stars and the Avalanche are the first round matchup right now in the Central. And I feel like the winner of the entire, like the Stanley Cup winner could come out of this series, right? Yeah. It would not surprise me. And the Wild might swap with the Avs depending on how the next couple of weeks go, but that feels to me like the Toronto-Tampa thing, where like we wish these teams didn't have to play each other in the first round and had a better chance of going deep, but it's going to be a heck of a series, and I don't know who you pick there. It's a coin toss. And the other side of that, once again, this will be what, the fourth?
Can we just touch on that? Rantanen playing Colorado in the first round?
Whoa, I didn't even think of that.
It'd be incredible.
More stuff keeps coming up. Tulsky spoke to Merrick about, like, on the show about all this misinformation. I didn't bring it up because I feel like we've talked about this to death. But there's, and the other thing I will just say real quick, Landeskog was on Chicklets the other day, and he said they're getting together for dinner this weekend, to like him, probably Kale and Nate, like the four or five of them getting together for dinner, and they're gonna, Rantanen's gonna air whatever happened, like whatever went down, because they still don't know and they haven't talked to him. So it'd be interesting to see if anything comes out of that. I mean, we won't know all the details, but someone's going to
find over there having dinner and just crash it with some microphones.
Know, right?
We're here.
So on the flip side of this, I think this will be the fourth year in a row, but the Kings and the Oilers are just on a collision course to play each other again. And there's no reason, right, to think this will go any differently than the past three matchups, right?
Yeah, it's the same cast of characters. Nothing's really changed, but how can you bet against, you know, the big guys in Edmonton? I don't see any reason why you would, but the Kings always seem to play them hard. The thing that they have going for them is they have guys who can slow down McDavid, slow down Draisaitl. You got Philip Deneau, you got Kopitar, you have a chance to at least contain them. The thing that always burnt the LA Kings in the butt was the special teams, where the Oilers were unstoppable. I think there was that. Was this a series where the scoring was so 7-2, they'd come back and tie it 7-7, win 8-7. That was a couple of years ago in the playoffs, and Edmonton was just, you could not count them out. But poor LA Kings, much like Toronto Maple Leafs of the East, they just can't seem to get out of their way in the first round matchup. They're stuck in this division with the Vegas Golden Knights and the Edmonton Oilers. And it's just like, who would you rather face? They're both legit Stanley Cup contenders, and you're not winning the division because one of those two teams typically wins it. Then you're just stuck playing a juggernaut in the first round. So
yeah,
it is what it is. I think the LA Kings expect to lose in the first round. They didn't do much of the deadline. They're kind of pushing their window further on down the road, waiting for Drew Doughty to move on to greener pastures and you have some money, and that's fine. But boy, they're playing great. They've won four in a row. They're playing good hockey. Imagine if they would have added a piece of the deadline.
Well, whatever. I think Quentin Byfield has goals in five straight. Like he's arrived and dominating. And the Oilers, meanwhile, have lost, I think, 8 out of the last 11. They've won only 3 in that stretch, so they've slipped quite a bit. So I feel like if you're trying to be hopeful, it's gonna be Quentin Byfield being a. He's not new, but he's a player that he wasn't the last couple of years. That's kind of what you need to hang your hat on, and just hope that the Oilers, again, it's the lack of depth that it always is. So, but yeah, I think that one's gonna be another Edmonton win. I think Minnesota basically has the first wild card spot locked up. And the only thing that could change there is if they jump ahead and pass the Avalanche and there's a little flip there. But whoever it's going to be, it seems like they're going to be destined to match against the Vegas Golden Knights in the first round. And that's another thing where, like, I'd probably take the Avs over the Knights, but I would take the Knights over the Wild. But this could all go anyway.
It's the West is so strong. It's a murderer's row of teams. When you look at the top six, I could easily see any one of them raising the cup at the end of the year. So to say, if you're the Minnesota Wild and you're trying to just prognosticate, or you're trying to, you know, wish and hope for a person to play against, who? Out of those six teams, maybe I'd want to play the Jets first, but they're an absolute wagon. The Stars and the Avalanche, the Knights and the Oilers, no thanks. It's just a lose-lose situation. The poor Minnesota Wild, they've had a great season. I'm going to talk to Marc-Andre Fleury hopefully next week. We're negotiating times right now because he's a big superstar, but he's geared up to come on the show. That's what I'm going to ask him. Like, this is your last year. What do you think? Who do you guys want to play? What's the vibe in the room? They didn't do anything at the deadline. They're kind of resigned to their fate of being in cap hell. Next year, they're going to get freed up from that $14 million hit they've been under for the last 3-4 years. What's the vibe? Like, what did you think after Billy G did absolutely nothing? So it is what it is. The West is already set. They have their contenders. It's the Jets, Stars, Avalanche, Knights, Oilers, maybe the Kings. But it's those five teams. One of them is going to come out, and they'll be arguably the favorite to win the Stanley Cup.
So then the second wild card spot there, it's very much like the East, and there's four teams within 2 points of each other. That's Calgary, who has it right now. Right behind them, Vancouver, Utah, St. Louis. First question is, who do you think is the prediction? Who will get that spot when the season's over?
Tim, if it's just based on talent, it's the Vancouver Canucks. But, you know, you got to play the game. And I don't know what to expect from the Vancouver Canucks. My heart tells me it's going to be the Calgary Flames. They just play that dogged game. And they're a strange team. And you and I have talked about doing a deep dive into the Calgary Flames because they have scored the least goals in the whole NHL. They have garnered the least amount of scoring chances for it. They have an atrocious power play. Like, they just don't score goals across the board. They don't generate chances. They are a one-track mind team. We're going to win these games 2-1. That's it. And that's what they do. Their goaltender, Wolf, should arguably be in contention for the Calder. He has single-handedly just kept them in games. He's been terrific. So it'd be fun to see them in. I think they'd get waxed in the first round by the Winnipeg Jets, but just they're the Flames. They'd be fun to see rip up and down the ice.
So the second part of that question is, which of those four teams has the best chance of giving Winnipeg a series? Is any of them? I'll tell you what, if I had to pick one,
what do you think?
Yeah. It's St. Louis. And the reason I say that is that because I feel like they're probably the deepest of these four teams. They don't have some of the superpower like that Vancouver has with Pedersen and Quinn Hughes and that sort of thing. But they're a deep team. They're hard to play against. And they have, and I hate to give them any credit, but Jordan Binnington can still steal a series. We've seen this. So I feel like if there's another, yeah. I don't know what it is about Winnipeg that I don't quite trust them for the superpower team that they are. I still think I would pick Winnipeg, but if there's one of those four teams that would upset them, I think it's St. Louis.
Be a Four Nations rematch. Hell about Binnington. And we all know how that ended. Hell of a champion. So, yeah, you're right. Looking at, like, St. Louis has been one of those teams since their Stanley Cup win they really are just been around, you know? And I feel like we have the same conversation about them year after year. It's like, man, they're deep. They have experience. They got some top end players. Remember Jordan Kyrou was going to be the next one.
Yeah.
He's going to, oh, look out. He signed the big ticket and he just hasn't lived up to that billing. Robert Thomas he's been the guy on this team for a long time now. He's been terrific, but their defense is old. You know, they brought in Broberg, but they still have, I think, the oldest defense in hockey with Falk and Suter and Letty and Cam Fowler. Like, Tim, those guys are all 35 plus. I think Suter's 43. So, right. Like, they're old guys. I don't know. And then just Jordan Binnington, there's something about his face and the way he plays. You can't like him. He's the most unlikable character in the NHL.
I think you're right.
Well, except for Liam O'Brien, who I hold a perfect hatred for. Absolutely pure to my core. I hate that guy. So other than him, Jordan Binnington is just a dislikable character. It's just his attitude. But yeah, I agree. St. Louis would give you fits if you're the Winnipeg Jets. They have that type of team. But I think the Jets are going to win the first round. If okay. And I know this is a lot of if, ands, or buts. And we're you know, we're still a month away from the playoffs, but, you know, 15 games left. It's fun to talk about. Out of the top teams from each division, Florida, Washington, Winnipeg, Vegas, they're playing the wild card teams, which are the Wild and the Flames and the Senators and the Blue Jackets. Which one is primed for an upset? Florida, Washington, Winnipeg, Vegas.
I will go with, that's a tough question. I guess Washington, I don't know. I'll say Vegas because I feel like that the first wild card in the West is going to be the strongest team. It's going to be either Avalanche or Minnesota. So I feel like that has the best, the other teams hardly belong, you know? So
Ottawa.
Yeah. I don't know. What do you think?
I think the Caps are prime for it. I don't know. I don't think Ovi breaks the record this year. I think they get bounced in the first round. I think all the Caps fans can kick rocks. Yeah, suck on that one, everybody. How about this? One of my greatest moments. It makes me so happy because I don't watch every game, but I try to stay up with it. Washington won 7-3 the other day, or 7-4. I'm like, great. Ovi probably got four goals. Check the box score. Goose egg. I get goosebumps. I got happy. I'm like, yeah, suck on that one, Ovechkin. Zero goals. And it's such. And then last night they get shut out. I'm like, yeah, don't even have to check the box score. Zero goals there, Ovechkin. What do you think? How do you like me now? So it's just, I don't know. I'm so petty. And I don't even have a dog in this race. I like the guy. He's just like a super nice guy. And I've had great times with him. But I'm just like, I'm tied to this record now for whatever reason. But he's got 16 games left, Tim. Do you think he gets what does he got? 9 to go?
He has 8 to tie, 9 to break it. I'm pretty sure.
He ain't beating it. That's going to be so fantastic. In the offseason, he's going to be caught for something. He's not going to be able to play next year. He's not going to have the record. It's going to be great. Speaking of old guys, Jonathan Quick has agreed to a 1-year extension with the New York Rangers. 40 years old, Tim. 1.55 schmel. I think it's a good deal for the Rangers. I think he's played great.
Yeah, yeah.
Any problem with this?
No, he's taking a lot of pressure off Shesterkin. You look at his stats, and it's not like it's stellar. His goals against in the threes and the sub 900 save percentage, but that's suddenly really common in the NHL. It's like all of a sudden, like, and it goes through fluctuation, like with baseball, with the ERAs or the aces are like in the high threes in some years, and then it turns back to the ones, and it just changes. So, yeah, I think it's a good pickup. He's been really solid back there, and one of those guys that I'm happy to see have a resurgence because. He could have retired 5 years ago and he was on the down. And then all of a sudden he starts playing well again. And it's really cool to see. So good for him and good for the Rangers.
All right. What else, Tim?
The last one here is this cool little stat that Jack Eichel last night had a 79th point, which is the record for the Vegas Golden Knight in a single season. I think he beat William Karlsson from a couple of seasons ago. So cool stat. Eichel's on pace for about 94 points. Just great to see. And I wonder, you know, when the next time that gets broken.
No, probably soon, you would think. Vegas. That's surprising me. That low point total for the Knights. That seems low for me. Speaking of points, Nathan MacKinnon, first one in the NHL to 100 points. He has 102 now. Drysdale's right behind him with 98. Kucherov has slowed down with 92. Are we going to see a Hart Trophy with Colorado Avalanche? And is it MacKinnon or is it Cale Makar, who has 75 points right now as his defensive mate, even though he was, you know, injured for a little bit of this season?
I think it's MacKinnon. He's just so good. It's what else can you say? And the thing is, too, that he's just there are guys that put up a lot of points, but there's something that's a little bit vacuous about it. Like it's just it's empty. Like when Panarin puts up 100 points, it's like he's even Pasternak, you know, but MacKinnon is such a rounded, does everything. He's doing 100 points and everything else. So, yeah, it's pretty special. I think he's going to do that. And as much as I love Cale Makar and Quinn Hughes, it should be Zach Werenski for the Norris. But I guess we'll wait a little bit to do those predictions.
Well, let's just I just want to touch on the rookies real quick because there is a good rookie class. You know, last year wasn't so great. We had Connor Bedard, and then that was it. This year we got Lane Hudson, we got Macklin Celebrini, we got Matt B. Miechkoff, we got Will Smith coming out of nowhere. It's interesting. When I was in San Jose, I was talking to one of the player directors, and he said much like basketball players are on a shot clock. They sit out games. They don't want to overwork them. That's what they were doing with Will Smith in San Jose. They would play him a game, then they would sit him a game. And it was designed. It was built into his schedule. So he knew when he wasn't playing and he knew he was playing. And the reasoning behind it was, you know, coming out of college, they weren't sure he could handle the load. Smith hated it. Absolutely hated it. And I feel like a lot of people in San Jose didn't like it as well. But that's the way they went with the upper management and stuff. They didn't want to work this guy to the bone. He's only 18 or 19 years old. Well, the reins are off this kid. And he's playing terrific hockey the last 2 months. He is lit right up. He's got 35 points now. And he has been playing fantastic hockey. All right, it's Cutter Gauthier. There's, and obviously, the goaltender who's in there. I mentioned his name, Dustin Wolf. Who do you think right now wins the Calder? Is it Lane Hudson? He's got 51 points playing for the Montreal Canadiens, breaking records up and down with the Canadiens for rookie defenseman, or is it Macklin Celebrini?
Well, on Will Smith, I'm looking at his game log right now. He has 5-point game streak, 7 points in that stretch. And if you look, like I'm just quickly looking, but he's got something like 25 points in his last 20 games or something.
Playing
it's
great.
Crazy. Yeah, I don't think I realized he was doing that good. In terms of the rookie of the year, I think it's probably going to be Lane Hudson at this point. I don't know that he's necessarily been the best, but when you have a defenseman who's leading the class, I think he's sort of right now. And again, we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks, but I think he's past Celebrini and Miechkoff. And I do think Dustin Wolf should probably end up in the top three for what he's done in Calgary. And he's getting overlooked by most of like the national and US media, but he's been stellar back there too. So I think it's probably between Hudson and Wolf at this point.
And Miechkoff just can't stop getting healthy scratched or benched. It's just like him and Torts, they just go back and forth. He's, you know, first line, all of a sudden he's stapled to the bench. And mind you, last couple of games have been -3, -2. So Torts hates that stuff. But boy, that's going to come to a head soon. Like you have to let this kid go. It reminds me of Marian Gabrick when we're playing with the Rangers and Torts was just all over him. Would not give him an inch, and Gabby just hated it. But it seems like this Miechkoff kid pushes back a lot more than Gabby did. So that's an interesting dynamic going on in Philadelphia right now.
Different days. These kids are different than they were 20 years ago.
These kids are different. Disrespectful. They bully you. They wear stupid beanies when they should be acting professional. Big podcast. Bleacher Report. Hundreds of thousands of people watching, and Tim rolls up with a beanie. Just like, what are we doing here? You know, I dress for success. This isn't a random Friday podcast when we can just mail it in. It was a Bleacher Report. Could have gotten a million people watching. A beanie. And he gets hit by the car wearing the beanie. So you got what you deserve. All right. Anything else, Tim?
I have nothing else to say to you.
That's a correct answer. Everybody else, have a good weekend. We appreciate the support. We'll talk to you guys next week. Stay safe out there, Tim. And cheers. Talk to you next week.